Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection,
the official
behind-the-scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
Hey, Lori, how you doing?
I'm fine, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I just did that in honor of you because you're out there where the deer and the antelope play, aren't you?
I am. In fact, I can look out the window here and see several antelope right in front of us.
That's amazing.
My son, who's two, calls them cantaloupe. We still have to kind of work past the fact that you eat cantaloupe and antelope.
But not antelope.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, hey, everybody, welcome to the second Funcast. Can you believe we made it to number two?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one, Steve.
I know. Coming up on today's Funcast.
Well, we have an interview with a very important person. I mean,
that's
very.
Yes. VIP, capital. Yeah. Letters, definitely.
Capital, bold, italics, yeah.
That's everything. Right. And also more hints about the upcoming season.
And general antics, as always, from Steve and Lori. Everybody
seems
to like
those. Which one of us is the general? That's what I want to know.
There's no telling.
And the Season 8 awards from J-Man's site. Yeah. Well, why don't we get into it?
Okay, get into which part?
How about some shout-outs?
Shouts out, as Steve mentioned last time.
Broom-tsh.
Yeah, that's going to be a really bad running joke, isn't it?
Every podcast has got to have their bad running jokes.
So, yeah, this time one of the shouts out that we would like to do is for Jamie and Dave. We
yes.
love them.
Yes, the message boards are a big thing with the Gilead fan community.
Mm-hmm.
So without Jamie and Dave, we wouldn't have a managed and manageable message boards.
And that's not always an easy job.
No.
They really have to stay on top of things.
That's right. There's a lot to stay up on top of, to keep it, safe and secure and
exactly
healthy and fun.
Yes. And, I appreciate Jamie and Dave. They always seem to be right there doing stuff. And we also love Sharon.
Sharon. Now tell our listeners who Sharon is.
Sharon answers the phone. When you call CBH Ministries, it is Sharon's wonderful, friendly voice that you hear on the other end of the line, and we couldn't have a better friendly voice that way.
That's true. So when you call in, make an order, for season sets or whatever, most likely Sharon is that first voice that you're going to hear. So,
and we just love Sharon.
Shout out to Sharon. Next shout out, of course, would be, Terry Ritchie. She is the big kahuna here at CBH.
You don't get any bigger.
That's right.
In kahunadom than Terry. She, in fact, is on the message boards, too. She's Mrs. T on
That's
the message
true.
Boards. But she's also the executive director of CBH Ministries.
Right.
So she's, yeah.
So all of us answer to her pretty much. And,
exactly. She's our boss. We love you, Terry.
But for the podcast today, she's going to answer to us. She's going to answer some burning
Ooh.
Questions.
Burning questions,
well,
too. Not just questions, but burning questions.
They're at least warm if they're not burning. So Liz, our production assistant for Gilead, she sat down with Terry to ask her some of these questions. And let's go ahead with that. Take it away, Liz.
Well, thank you, Steve and Lori. And I am here with Terry Ritchie, our executive producer. So, Terry, what in the world do you do here at CBH Ministries?
Well, my title is executive director, but I work with the board of directors, and we try and give direction to this ministry as we grow, and I also try and lead my staff in a Christ-like way, and that's a big job, too.
What part do you have in DGL?
Oh, well, I'm involved in the brainstorming, and sometimes those sessions can be quite hilarious with Steve and Lori and John and I. Either we're all in one same room or we're on the internet with each other. It's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun. Sometimes I go to the studio to listen and watch the recordings. That's Steve's job mostly, so I stay in the background. He's kind of in his element when he's directing, so you just don't bother the director. I also listen to the final broadcast before it's sent out, and during that session we try and pick up any flaws or blurps or things that might have gotten into the mix. And we listen to the overall appeal of the story to the children. Is it getting the message across like we would like? I think my biggest job in DGL is Steve. Yep, he's a handful.
Oh, I know.
Mostly when he and Lori Twitchell start talking in Star Wars language, it can get a little out of hand, and I have to use my Mauser C-96 to stun them back into the conversation at hand. Uh-huh. So that's mostly my big job.
No, they're great to listen to sometimes, but yeah, yep. Like you said, they get out of hand. Yeah. So what is your favorite episode?
Well, I would have to say that is season 8, the Peru episode with Tom Richter. I have quite a missions background, and that episode was actually geared around some things that have happened to one of my family members on a missions trip. It was a very tender time for me with all the little orphan children involved. I used to work with orphans, and that's why it was special.
That's neat. So who is your favorite character?
Well, I love Grace. I mean, she's like a really rock-solid character in Coleraine, but, I think I really like Haley. She's a lot deeper than she seems, and I think that's true of so many kids her age. The outward person is a little flighty and maybe very talkative or kind of silly, but the inward person is tender and deep, and I think that's what Haley is. It just takes someone a little while to get to know that perspective of a teen.
Mm-hmm. Just get past that outward and get into the beautiful inside.
Yep.
So what do you think the kids are going to be most surprised at in season 9?
Oh, well, I think it's just probably going to knock their socks off. It's really different and new, and I'm proud of Lori and John for catching the vision of what CBH wants to say in the drama. They're so good at that. They've really gotten into the storyline. And the story is unique, and if I say anything more, Steve is going to put a sock in my mouth, so I better not say anything, but it's really going to be good and different all the way around.
I would have to agree. And so you guys are just going to have to keep listening. Thank you for spending time with us and answering some questions. And it's back to you, Steve and Lori.
Well, thanks a lot, Liz and Terry. That was some really informative stuff. Great job.
It was.
And hey, you know, she was talking there a little bit about season 8, which, you know, we have finished, and, you know, we're getting ready to go into season 9. But before we do, we were talking about the season 8 awards, right?
Did you even know that they had season 8 awards? I'll bet you people out there didn't have a clue.
Probably not. Yes. Yes. J-Man, one of our message boards people, has his own fan website, The Road to Gilead Lane, and he hosted like an awards show, I guess, sort of.
The Academy Awards.
Exactly.
The Emmys.
Invited people to come and vote, and so now we have the results, and we've got some special guest presenters who are going to give you the categories, the nominees, and the winners.
Fantastic.
So let's kick it off and throw it right now to Marsha Harrington. Marsha, what's your category?
In the category of Best Actress, the nominees are Joyce Bean as Monica Richter, Jill Mueller as Mary Morrison, and Laurie Heckman as Brooke Morrison. And the winner is Laurie Heckman as Brooke Morrison.
Woo-hoo, all right.
Congratulations.
Good job.
We also have coming up next, Nelson Lemon. Take it away, Nelson.
In the category of Best Actor, the nominees are Roger Mueller as John Morrison, Rodney Tislaw as Tom Richter, and Christopher Gruenink as Justin Morrison. And the winner is Roger Mueller as John Morrison.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, and Sharon, we were just talking about Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, what is your category for the Season 8 Awards?
In the category of Best Scene, the nominees are Do You Know What Tiburonians Means? Scene from It's the Little Things. I'll Never Do Nothing Again Scene from When Good Men Do Nothing. The John's Sign Scene from When Good Men Do Nothing. And John and Mary Read Justin's Blog Posts Scene from May or May Not Part 1. And the winner is... It's a tie. I'll Never Do Nothing Again, and John and Mary Read Justin's Blog Posts.
Yes, all right.
Very cool.
Yes, I love the applause that we get this, what we call canned applause.
And we're getting towards the end, and the announcers are getting bigger. Well, sort of. This time we've got Uncle Charlie. Everybody knows who Uncle Charlie is. Take it away, Uncle Charlie.
In the category of best lesson, the nominees are doing the right thing in difficult situations when good men do nothing. Seeing God's hand in everything. God had a plan, part one. Obedience proves your faith. A time to go and a time to stay. And putting your hope in God alone, a steady up. And the winner is putting your hope in God alone, a steady up.
All right.
Yay! Hooray!
Fantastic.
And finally, yes, you guessed it. Who else to give the final award of the night? Then Terry Ritchie. Take it away, boss.
In the category of best episode, the nominees are A Time to Go and A Time to Stay, When Good Men Do Nothing, Trouble in the Jungle, Part 1 and Part 2, Days Gone By, Part 1 and Part 2, It's the Little Things, God Had a Plan, Part 1 and Part 2, A Steady Up, May or May Not, Part 1 and Part 2. And the winner is May or May Not, Part 2.
All right, yeah. Woo! Thank you to all those Academy members, that would be you, the fans, who voted on the Season 8 awards. And thank you, J-Man, for coordinating it all. And hopefully, maybe sometime in a few months, we'll be talking about the Season 9 awards.
All
right.
And we all know that it was just an honor to be nominated.
That's so true. All right. So, what are we talking about next?
I think that we are going to precap.
Yes.
Which is a Steve word.
Yeah, thank you very much.
More of Season 9. You know, people really started buzzing about those hints that we gave them last time.
Yes, yes.
Guinea pigs and time machine, and you know, time machines.
Yes.
I forgot to ask you last time, you know, I just wrote the time machine in there.
Right.
But I never stopped to ask you where you actually got the time machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's the weirdest thing. I saw that in the script and thought, oh, that shouldn't be too hard. But I looked and looked and looked high and low, went all over the place trying to find a time machine, and finally did end up locating a time machine warehouse, like outlet store in the Pittsburgh area. And we went there on a day that they were having a clearance sale. It was like a summer clearance kind of thing. And we were able to get a really good deal on a time machine that would not only go back in time, but back and forward.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, yeah, because you know, the script called for a little bit of both directions, you know, back and forward.
Right.
And with our budget at the regular price, we only would have been able to get one that went back in time. So,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That was great.
Okay.
I met 5-year-old me. And, yeah,
really?
Yeah. And then, we had to test it out, you know, before we actually put it into the show. And then I met 65-year-old me. So that was kind of fun. I mean,
really?
I'm not
what
even going
to. What was 65-year-old you still like? Are you still watching science fiction stuff?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that one, to everybody's imaginations. I don't want to give anything away, you know? It's kind of
because
right.
Still be around watching what Steve's doing.
There's kind of a twist, at the end there. So I don't want to give anything away.
Did you have your teeth?
some of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this time machine, what's it look like? Is it a big blue box? That's the only kind of time machine I've ever seen.
It was kind of faded and dingy. We painted it. We went ahead and just painted it beige. Hey, just FYI, everybody, this is all really kind of tongue in cheek. Okay. So don't take us too seriously right now.
Don't write us letters of complaint about time travel
right.
And things like that. We're just, Steve and I like to have fun.
This is a tangent.
It's it is the very definition of a tangent.
Right.
I think if you looked it up in the dictionary, you would find Steve and Lori under the definition of tangent.
So, but getting back on course though, Lori.
Yes.
Season 9.
We've got huge things coming up. Everybody's speculating about.
Yeah, yeah. They're speculating on the message board, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
The Colerain Connection thread, which is a sticky thread, if anybody knows what that means, on the message
board. Which means that it's stuck there, so it won't get lost at the bottom of the page. Whenever you go to the Down Gilead Lane area of the message board, it's going to be right at the top.
Yes. So they're talking about things like, you know, the college life,
Yeah, and who's going to move into Mr. Key's house.
Right. And the high school play, who's trying out for the high school play. And do we have any more information or answers for any of those things right now, Lori?
Well, I don't know that we have answers for any of those things, because then that would be called spoilers. And there are a lot of people out there who don't really want to be spoiled, Steve.
And true.
It's a phenomenon. You don't want to be caught up in that spoilage thing.
No, spoilage is bad.
But we do have some more things that are going to be happening this season that we can tell you about.
Yes, like, okay, here's a big one. Ready? Somebody from the early days of Down Gilead Lane, who we haven't heard from in several seasons, will be making a return.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
In fact, a couple somebodies.
A couple somebodies, really?
Yes, yes. So keep your ears open for that. That's coming up in season 9.
And we're going to do some diving into the Bible.
Yeah, almost literal, but not really literal, but in a sense, yes. We'll be
close to literal as you can get without really being literal.
Right. Into the Bible. So think of, some familiar classic stories from the Bible, and you may actually find yourself inside a few of those this season on Down Gilead Lane.
And somebody...
Yes.
Has a secret room.
Yes. So far, not somewhere. Been revealed. A interesting place that's got some mystery around it.
And we are in the 9th season of Gilead.
I know.
And there are still secrets out there that people don't know.
Yep. So all that coming up in season 9 of Down Gilead Lane.
That's right.
Okay. Now it is time, once again, to bring out the mailbag. And of course, you know what that means.
It is time for the...
The Mail Haiku.
Mail Haiku.
Yes.
We're really gonna
do one of these every time, huh?
We are. We got a lot of comments on that first Mail Haiku.
Okay.
There were a lot of people who really appreciated it. So, and you know, since last time I read the Mail Haiku...
Yes.
I think that the honor should be bestowed upon Steve-O. It should be your turn.
I thought it was going to be Lori's thing every time.
No, of course not. I am completely not a selfish person. Hey, I am willing to spread the haiku around.
Okay, and now while we're talking about it, we do want to get haiku submissions from our listeners, okay?
Yes.
So you can email them to ccfuncast@gileadlane.org, or you can put them on the Coloring Connection thread of the message boards, okay?
And we're just going to randomly choose.
Yep.
Whose haiku is going to be shared? But this time, Steve-O has a haiku for us.
All right, here it is. All right, let me set the tone.
Oh. You ready? Prepare yourself.
Okay, here we go. Ding, the mail has come. A letter, missive, note, jot from our audience. Oh, nice.
Yay, Steve.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, and I think Steve actually does have an email.
I do. Daniel from Canada wrote, he had some great things to say about the podcast. He submitted his mailing info to send the limited edition cast photo to. And he had this one question. For some reason, we have not yet been able to put this issue to bed. He says, one question regarding your information on Finn. In a previous Gilead Insider, there was an interview with Finn. They asked him different questions, and his answers ranged from Ruth, for Mikey's favorite baseball player, Bark, for what is that on the tree, and Grace, for what's your owner's name, and so forth. I am sure that that was a real dog. Where did you retrieve this sound from? Well, Daniel, let me just let you listen to this, okay? Are you ready? Ruth and Mark and Grace. Yeah, that would have been my voice.
Steve.
Yeah. So the only time that anybody has ever, been a human stand-in for the dog Finn was on that episode or that edition of The Insider. And that was me.
You really do everything, don't you?
No, I do not. but yeah, we talked last podcast about... Finn being just a regular dog and that's true for any time he's appeared in the show. But the only time that it's been more cartoony like that was on The Insider. Mm. He goes on to say, I look forward to hearing from you soon. I am deeply grateful for your ministry and the blessing that it has been to me. I was so glad to meet many of the faces that make it all possible. May the Lord deeply bless you for your faithful and excellent work. So thank you so much, Daniel, for your encouragement. And
yes,
hopefully,
thank you. We appreciate you.
Hopefully that will lay to rest any more controversy on the identity of Finn forevermore. All right, what do you got, Lori?
Okay, well, I have something off the message boards from Kitten, who is a CBH newbie, and we appreciate all the newbies that we've got who are coming online now.
Good to see you, Kitten.
Exactly. We're happy about that. Yeah. And this is what Kitten has to say to us. Oh, dear. This is the first that I've heard of that fellow that does Justin's voice leaving. That makes me very sad, but I'm coming to realize that it's a given with radio drama and television. People must move on, and it would be a worse tragedy to stop producing the show just because one actor couldn't stay.
Amen.
We totally agree with that. She also loves the idea of broadcasting bloopers. And she thinks the Funcast is a grand idea.
All right.
I happen to think so, too.
Yes.
Now, one of the questions that she has is, how did the Morrison House get repaired so quickly? Steve, do you remember when the Morrison House got broken?
Yeah, got broken. Yeah, yeah, that was the Christmas special, Christmas Heirlooms.
Written by our own beloved John Fornoff.
Correct. It was the most recent Christmas special that we've had. And basically, yeah, there was a little bit of confusion just as far as how much damage was done. And, you know, the point we wanted to make in the story was that their stuff, their Christmas stuff, is what was lost. We didn't really want to, you know, create this picture that, you know, half of their house was completely...
There was no loss of life or limbs. Either.
Right, right. So if you imagine, like, the front of the house, there's, like, a big sort of picture window. That's where the Christmas tree would be. And so that window was ruined, and the surrounding wall was ruined. The wall all the way up to probably the corner where the wall meets the ceiling of the room. Mm-hmm. That is why I think they reference the fact that they can see the sky coming through. It's not because their whole roof was burned off, but just because the upper part of the window was. So they're looking at an angle out at the sky.
Which was not a load-bearing wall, so the house did not need to be demolished and
right.
taken down.
Right.
So, yeah. And, you know, to kind of segue with that, Steve,
yeah.
La Pianista comes in here on the message boards. La Pianista, by the way, says, I'm addicted to CBH forums.
All right.
And says, many people have said that the house catching on fire was part of a special episode,
yes.
so it does not count as part of the main storyline.
Oh, wait a minute.
So we might want to address that, Steve, because I think that's very important.
Right.
We do have specials
yep.
that are around Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, you know, the major holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And those stories are still part of the Down Gilead Lane universe. They're still part of canon.
Right.
They still did happen to the Morrison family. Don't just discount them and toss them away because they are a special.
Right, right. They're standalone in the sense that you can listen to one of the specials, and for the most part, you don't really have to have a lot of knowledge coming into them. They can kind of stand alone from that sense, but it also doesn't mean that, you know, that these are different characters and this is a different place than the rest of the season episodes.
Right. So we don't want you to just kind of toss it out and think that it didn't really happen or
right,
it's not important.
Right, right. I mean, there may be somewhere in the future where somebody will mention, they'll recall back to, you know, remember at Christmas time when we had the fire in the living room. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it,
or remember Thanksgiving going to grandma's house.
Yeah, right. So it really did happen. It really is in the memory of the Morrison characters. And it may have future impact on future episodes. You never know. But we need to, that we need them to be kind of a time capsule in the sense because, you know, we re-air the specials usually around the same time of year. So they need to be able to stand alone, you know what I'm saying, so that they can
mm-hmm.
kind of stand the test of time, so to speak.
Yes. So that hopefully, Kitten, you did a great job for being a newbie at CBH. You
yeah.
helped us address two major issues.
So that's pretty much our mailbag for this time around. If you, by the way, if you would like to ask us a burning question about Gilead or about the Funcast, or if you have a comment, you know, that you would like us to discuss, you can always do that either through the email or the message boards. What's that email address, Lori?
That is ccfuncast, that's FUNCAST, at gileadlane.org.
And that email address is working now, so
yes.
never fear. For those of you that tried and couldn't get through last time around. We apologize. We have gotten all of the bugs out of the system. And so now...
Humanely.
That's right.
We are pro-bug here, right. So we have humanely removed all the bugs out
of
the system.
No bugs were harmed.
You can get email to us now that, again, that address is ccfuncast, because we have a lot of fun here, at GileadLane.org.
Or you can always go and leave your question and comment on the message boards. We are always looking for new message boards users. And the sticky thread that is in the DGL forum is called the Coleraine Connection Thread. And you can just add your question and comment, and we'll do our best to address them on the next Funcast.
We promise, though, that Steve and I will see it.
That's right. We can't really guarantee that everyone will be discussed, but we will guarantee that we will read everyone. And with that, we are finally at the moment, that magic moment that everybody's been waiting for, Lori.
Steve is going to sing.
No, I already said, I opened the thing with singing.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, I'm not going to even go there again, but no, bloopers, you know, everybody
bloopers.
Wants to hear the bloopers.
Because, you know, everybody knows we're totally not perfect.
Totally, and they're going to know it for sure after this. We're going to start with some bloopers from a recent recording session, Gilead recording session.
Because as great as those people sound, they're not perfect either.
So true. So we're going to put some of those on, and then something very special from our last Funcast.
Oh,
let's just roll that tape. Here we go.
I have a question about Grace.
Yes.
Is she blind?
She is.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. that would be good to clarify. She lost her sight when she was 7.
Good job with the backstory there.
Thanks.
Yes, yeah. Modell.
Genius.
Work on your game.
Bike?
Okay.
And then try this. Riding.
Okay.
Like, hello. Like, that's the idea, all right?
Okay.
I think that Haley and Mike are laughing at me right now, but
Riding.
You know, up mountain, down the other side.
Steve,
that's
your line. That's your line. You should come in here and say that. That's your line.
Yeah.
Just so it don't sound like this. What a great adventure for him.
What?
Yeah, can you believe
it? Say that again.
No, I got it.
That would be a good one for the bloopers.
You must get Bing Crosby.
No, just don't do that now. I'm gonna feel like I'm walking on eggs around here.
You're gonna be so self-conscious.
I am. I don't want to get iPodded.
Mr. Key. My phone just rang. Mr. Key. I'll tell you about him sometime. Yeah.
He's like, I'm like...
All right, remember where you were at?
Yeah, I was over there.
Well, I mean, mentally. Do you remember the headspace?
Yeah, that's all there is in there, is space. I think so.
Heard somebody bang on their script stand. So
sorry, that was me.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty.
All right. You don't have to fess up to it.
You could have totally blamed Nate.
Oh, you're hidden better than anybody.
That's right. Your secrets are safe, kiddo.
It was him!
And at that point, we need to hear you go, ah! All right, never mind. It didn't look like I thought it would, all right? Look at my knee! All right, so it's got to be crazy, all right?
Okay, that was a nice snort.
Thank you.
That was so gross!
Why do we keep talking at the exact same time?
I don't know. And I've got to really stop saying exactly. I've said that about 1,000 times in this podcast.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly. Maybe we should just cut that whole thing.
I think so, maybe.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, we've got a blooper right there. Oh my goodness, those were quite embarrassing. Oh,
I now
think
you know.
Yes. I think with that, it's just about time. Things are falling apart. What is coming up on the next Funcast, Lori?
Okay, well, as you all know, season 9 is just around the corner.
Yes, it is.
And our next Coloring Connection Funcast is going to be occurring after season 9 has opened.
Yeah, so we're going to spend a little bit of time recapping the opening of season 9. That'll be cool. And also, there's a pretty good chance, I can't make any promises right now, but there's a pretty good chance that we're going to have us like a guest host sitting in on the whole Funcast with us. So that'll be cool. What else?
That's right. We have yet to see if they're going to be able to handle all that is Steve and Lori.
That's right.
In the Funcast. Also, we have a very, very special interview that's going to be happening next time. We're very excited about that. If you didn't catch all the varies.
Exactly. Oh, wait a minute. Of course, more of your questions and comments, more bloopers. We've got plenty to pick from.
Trust me.
We'll see you. Until then, I'm Steve.
And I'm Lori, reminding you that every day needs a little grace.
See you next time.
Bye.